So good, girls. You'll have to do that again for us. Well, I certainly want to ask your prayers today as I try to share with you the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. If you want to read along with me today in the scriptures, I'd ask you to turn to the third chapter of 1 John. I'd like to read the first 10 verses of that chapter for a scripture reading today. 1 John chapter 3, the first 10 verses. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth not hath seen him, neither hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And I want to, with those verses being read, I want to bring a message today entitled, The Things the Devil is Known For. In these verses that I read, In the eighth verse, John said that the Son of God was manifested, which means revealed or made known. The Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, you know, our works, the things that we do, are generally those things that we are known for. And I want to ask you to think about that today, the things that the devil is known for. And you know, it just appears to me that we live in a time, that we live in a nation that gives way to the devil more and more and more all the time. We go the ways of Satan, it seems, as a country. We are going the way of Satan, the ways of Satan, far more than we are in the ways of the Lord. And of course, the devil loves that. He always wants to win. And so whenever, you know, he can get people to start going in that direction, he loves that. But I want to ask you to, as I go through some of these things that the scriptures talk about, things that characterize the devil, and you know, I want you to think about this also as we look into these things. You know, I'm afraid that we allow the devil to do too much in our lives. You know, he just, we just, as God's people, we give way to the devil far too often in too many situations and in too many circumstances. We just fall into his evil traps. And so I want to begin with where the scriptures begin to talk about the devil. We begin to read about him in the third chapter of Genesis as the serpent. And what the Bible tells us about him there is that he was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And that's recorded in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And that word is simply defined, that word subtle is simply defined as being cunning or being very crafty. And so not only does the Bible tell us that the devil is sly and he's cunning and he's crafty, but that he is that above anything else or anyone else that tries to do that. You know, when it comes to evil, the devil is ultimate evil. And so he is very, the way that he approaches people and the way that he will approach you and I, he does that in a very cunning way and a very crafty way. The devil always tries to disguise what he is doing. And we can certainly see how that he did that with the first people to live on the earth, with Adam and Eve. We can see how that God had given the law to Adam, and God had also made for Adam Eve. He had made a suitable companion for Adam, and I'm sure that Adam had a great love for Eve. And when the devil wanted to disrupt what God had done, he obviously thought that he would do better to approach Eve than he would to directly approach Adam. And so that's what he did. He approached Eve, and then Eve got Adam to, she influenced Adam. She didn't make him do it, but she influenced Adam, and he disobeyed God's law. And so I believe that's one of the first things that we see about the devil, and that's certainly one of the most important things that we need to remember about him, is that he knows how to approach us. Just as he did with Eve and just as he did with Adam, the devil knows how to approach us and how to cunningly lead us in the wrong direction and to get us, to influence us to do things that we should not do. Now, I know that you've heard this a lot of times, but I think we need to dispel the myth that we've heard said where somebody does something wrong and says, "The devil made me do it." Well, that's not true. The devil cannot make us do anything, but he certainly can, you know, use his evil influence to try to get us to do things that are wrong. And so whenever we do something, whenever we listen to him and give way to him and do what we know that we're not supposed to do, we don't have anybody to blame but ourselves for that. We are responsible for that which we do. Something else that was said about the devil, and we know that God has no love for him. He truly doesn't. We see Jesus said some things about the devil that we find recorded in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John in verse 44. He said that he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so we see in this, just as the devil was more cunning or more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord had made, we also see that he is a liar, and not just a liar, but the father of it. Nobody can lie like the devil can. And so when we start thinking about these things, when we start thinking about somebody who has the ability to be more cunning or more crafty than anybody, and we start seeing how that the devil can lie better than anybody can lie, then certainly we begin to build upon this and realize that this is somebody that needs to be avoided. And we really do need to avoid the devil. I think that he must, in some sense, the devil must be a hunter, because the Bible talks about his snares. And where the Bible makes reference to snares, it's probably talking about a net. But that's something that has been used through the years at times to trap animals. We know that people use nets to trap fish. We also know that people use nets or snares to hunt on land and to trap animals. And the Bible talks about and warns us about the snares of the devil. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, the Apostle Paul said, he was writing about the qualifications of bishops, of pastors, there in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And one of the things he said about a bishop was that he must be of a good report among them that are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And also I made note of these scriptures in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. The Apostle Paul said, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." Now listen, "and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." And so the devil is, he's cunning, he's sly, he's crafty, he's a liar, and he sets traps. He goes hunting. I'm going to tell you this, that anybody that wants to serve God will be hated of the devil. The devil will be after you. If you want to serve God, he will be after you, because he hates God and he hates everything about God. He hates those who serve God. He hates those who honor God with their life, and he will be on your trail if you serve the Lord. I believe that I've told you this before, but I remember hearing one time about a lady that went to her pastor, and she said, "Well, pastor, the devil don't ever bother me." And he said, "Well, then you need to get to serving the Lord." And I believe that's just exactly right. If we live for God, listen, let's use Job as an example. The Bible tells us that Job was a man that was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil, or shunned evil. So the Bible spoke to us very highly about Job, obviously the way that he lived his life. He lived his life in service to God and reverencing God. And what happened? Well, here come the devil. He came to God and he wanted to take a crack at Job. God even challenged the devil. "Have you considered my servant Job? There's There's not any like him in the earth. And the devil said, well, God, the only reason that he loves you the way that he does is because you've built a hedge about him. You've blessed the work of his hands. You've built a hedge about him. You lift up your hand against him and take all that away, and he'll curse you to your face. But the devil was wrong about Job, wasn't he? He couldn't. No matter what he did, he was even allowed subsequently to even afflict the body of Job with sore boils from his head to his feet, but he could not turn him away from God. I hope that we can all be as resolved as Job. You know, when the devil comes, because that's exactly what he's going to try to do. He's going to try to turn us away from the Lord. He does not want us to serve God. I'm going to tell you something here. If you're here today and you're lost and without the Lord, the devil is going to try everything he can to keep you from getting saved. He's going to try everything that he can. He will tell you every lie. He will tell you every lie that he can come up with to try to keep you from getting saved. How many of you today that are here that have been saved, how many of you can remember when you were lost, the devil coming to you and trying to influence you and lying to you to try to keep you away from seeking the Lord? I can remember the devil coming to me and saying things to me like, you don't need to be seeking the Lord right now. You don't need to go to the altar in this service. There'll be a better time. Just telling me all sorts of lies to distract me and keep me from seeking the Lord. He will try to tell you that you don't want to become a Christian because you won't be able to have fun if you become a child of God. Whatever he can tell you to keep you away, he will. He does not want anything good for anybody. The things that we have spoken about thus far, the things that I've shared with you thus far from the Bible, doesn't say anything good about him at all. He's evil. He's crafty, very sly, a murderer, a liar. He's a tempter. You know, when in the fourth chapter of Matthew, when Jesus, after that Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist, the Bible says that he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, the tempter came. That's the devil. The tempter came. And what was he after ultimately? What was it that he was trying to get Jesus to do? Now he began his temptation by trying to get him to command the stones to be turned into bread, because Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and he was hungry. And so that's where the devil began his attack. He said, why don't you command that these stones be turned into bread? And Jesus said, well, because it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But we see in the end of the matter, we see ultimately what the devil was after. He wanted to turn Jesus away from the Father and to him. I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. He took Jesus up and set him on that high pinnacle and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, said, this can all be yours if you'll just fall down and worship me. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I believe it's the honest truth as God's people that we have accepted too much from the devil. We have. Jesus wouldn't have anything to do with it. It is written, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." He wouldn't have anything to do with those things that the devil tempted him with. But I fear that we have allowed, and keep this in mind about the devil, he will try, he's very sly and he's very cunning, and he will approach us a little bit at a time. And if he can get one little compromise out of you, then he's going to come with something else. I saw this sign one time that said, give the devil an inch and he will become your ruler. And that's what he'll do. A little bit here and a little bit there. This is okay. This is really not so bad. Let me tell you something. You know, anything as the children of God, if there's anything in our lives that we have to look at it and say, well, this is really not so bad, we better leave it alone. The Bible teaches us that we ought to even shun the very appearance of evil. But we've just given him too much, have we not? I mean, let's be honest. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul said to the church there at Ephesus, neither give place to the devil. You know what that means? It means do not give him opportunity. Don't give the devil opportunity. Remember Brother Dallas saying in Sunday school, if you don't want to run into the devil, the best thing to do is stay out of his neighborhood. You know, we don't need to just willfully give place or give opportunity to the devil. He's already, if we're serving God, he's already on our trail. He's already trying to influence us in an evil way. He's already trying to tempt us. He's already trying to distract us away from the things of the Lord. I'll tell you what, he will do the very best he can to sow discord among us. You know, the devil tried for years and years. He tried for centuries to get at the church through persecution. Years and years, all through the Dark Ages, he tried to get at the church through physical persecution, and it failed. It did not work. He could not destroy what God had set up. It just did not work. As the people of God lost their lives, they just continued to multiply and to multiply, and it did not work. And I believe that the devil turned to infiltration. And I think that's what he does today. He tries to infiltrate us. He tries to bring in things that don't need to be among us. He has brought things, we have allowed him, I guess I should say, to bring things into our lives that are having an evil effect upon us. You know, I believe that we can see the devil at work in the lives of our young people. We can see him at work. We can see him trying to use the things of the world to lead them astray, to distract them, trying to get them out of church. I'm telling you, listen to me, young Christian, you need to be here. You need to be hearing the Word of God on a regular basis. You need to be among the people of God. You need to stay with the flock because when you separate yourself from it, you're prey to the devil. The wolf is out there and you will fall prey to him. You need to stay with the people of God. Don't let the devil lead you away. Don't let him distract you. Don't let him distract you with the glitter and the glamour of life here in this temporal world. I'm telling you, there are better things for you among the people of God than there are out there in the world. And if you will believe that today, if you will embrace that, I promise you that if God allows you to live to the time that you reach the age that I'm at now, you're going to be able to look back and you're going to be able to say, yes, that was exactly right. I've had greater blessings being among the people of God than I could have ever had in the world. Don't let him do that. You stand firm and stand for the Lord and just say, get thee behind me, Satan. I don't want anything to do with the things that you're trying to present to me. Well, the Apostle Peter called him a roaring lion. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Doesn't say he's going around seeing who he can help, does it? He's walking about seeing who he may devour. Well, how do we protect ourselves? Well, Paul gave us the formula in his writing in Ephesians chapter 6. He said, put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's how we do it. We defeat him with the armor. We protect ourselves with the armor. We defeat him with the weapons of our warfare. The Apostle Paul said in writing to the Corinthians, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Put on the armor. Use the weapon. Use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Isn't that what Jesus did? When he fought the devil there on that mountain, when the devil tempted him, and even the devil would try to use it and say, well, why don't you cast yourself down from here? Because it is written that he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and they'll bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said, but it's also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then in that discourse, Paul concluded that by urging them to stay on their knees before God and pray always. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, oftentimes when we meet together as God's people, we assemble as God's people. Did you know oftentimes there are people missing that are not here among us because they've listened to the devil? They've listened to the devil. They've let the devil distract them with the things of the world and found something else to do other than to go to the house of God. That's just the bottom line truth. Beware of the devil, because he's out in force. If you want to serve the Lord, if you want to live for God, if you want to try to live according to God's word, then watch for the devil to try to disrupt that, come at you with everything he's got. I guess you could be like that lady that talked to her pastor. I guess if you just don't want the devil to bother you, then you just don't do anything for the Lord. But we don't want to do that, do we? We ought to serve God. And when the devil comes knocking, just run to Daddy. Just run to your Father and draw nigh to God. You know, we can't just resist the devil. We draw nigh to God and resist the devil. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So put on the armor that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And let's not allow him to sow any discord among us. Let's not allow him to influence our lives individually. Let's not allow him to influence us as a church. You know, Jesus, even we find in the 16th chapter of Matthew that when Jesus was telling his disciples that he was going to have to go to Jerusalem and be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and slain and be raised again on the third day, one of his own disciples rebuked him. The apostle Peter rebuked him for that and said, "No, Lord, be it far from thee." And Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest the things of God and not, or the things of men and not the things of God." Well, you know what? Peter wasn't actually Satan, but he was working for him right then, wasn't he? Listen, if we don't savor the things of the Lord, then we've taken sides with the devil, haven't we? We sure have, and we don't want to do such a thing as that. So let's pray for each other and pray for ourselves. And again, I want to urge everybody, and especially my young Christian friends, don't listen to the devil, because he will mess your life up if you let him. He really will. I mean, listen, you can listen to him one time, and be looking back for the rest of your days and saying, "I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I wouldn't have let the devil lead me in that direction." Don't listen to him. He doesn't want anything good for you at all. Everything that he will come at you with is going to end up detrimental to you. He's never done anything good for anybody. And he won't for you either. So these are some of the things that the Bible tells us that the devil is known for. He's known for being a deceiver. He's known for being crafty. He's known for being a liar. He's known for being a tempter. None of those things are good, are they? There's just nothing good about him. There's just no truth in him. Jesus said, there is no truth in him. Brother Strode, do you have a song?